Thank you. A husband and wife were arguing. They were arguing what was going to happen one day when one of them passed away. And the wife was a believer in God. The husband had not made that decision yet. So he had his own opinion. And he decided, you know, he said, you know what? I think I want you to make a commitment to me that if I die before you, that you bury, you know, $50,000 in the casket with me, because I want to make sure that I have some in the afterlife. And she said, what? That's crazy. You can't take it with you. But he continued to argue until finally, reluctantly, she agreed. So it just so happened years and years and years later that he passed away before her. And at the end of the funeral, when the funeral home was about ready to close the top of the casket, the wife slipped up and put a little box in the casket before they closed the lid on the casket. And as she made her way to the car to go home, her sister caught her in the lobby of the funeral home and said, you got to be kidding me. You actually put $50,000 in the casket with him? She said, I sure did. I made a commitment. I'm going to keep it. You put $50,000? She said, yes, I did. I wrote him a check. That's wisdom. This morning, we're going to be talking about the voice of wisdom. And through this series, you know, I've been talking about listening carefully, because The last week we talked about being careful of other people speaking to our life. This week we're going to talk about wisdom, listening to wisdom, and next week again, bring it all together in the wisdom of God, being able to speak into our life to give us direction. You know, sometimes when we talk about wisdom, we all can agree. Is that true? I mean, we say, oh yeah, you got to have wisdom, man. But we know that common sense isn't common practice. Can I get an amen to that? And you'd think that somebody could look and say, you know, where you're going isn't going to be good. But why is it that we do that? We just keep going. You know, I've got a set of, it's right around my water. But these are beets. Now, they're beat up because I used to, you know, exercise with them and everything, and got a new pair of them, but these things are noise reduction, almost eliminating noise. And what I found out is they're great on an airplane if you sit next to one of the loud children that are on the plane next to you. And you can put them on, and, you know, they don't look too bad. But, you know, the little earbuds are different, but these will just cancel out noise. Has anybody ever put earmuffs like this on before to listen to music? Now, if you've raised your hand, have you ever been to that point in your life where you were just singing, all your names is all your name, all of you. And in your mind, you think, man, Lisa Cruz don't have anything on me. If she just knew how I could sing. And you sing, and everybody's going like this. Because you're in your own little world, and your own little world isn't reality. You don't sound good, and you're sounding off key, and you hit notes that you shouldn't hit, and people outside can say, man, I can hear you, can't you? But you have noise reduction. You have other people's input coming in. You don't have it. You just have your own. This morning, as we're talking about wisdom, so many times if we don't watch ourselves, we'll only listen to ourselves on our past experiences, and those are often the reason why we make choices that are wrong. You know, years ago, I got this revelation, and I preached it for weeks, and really, it really means a lot. The choices that you make today will determine where you are tomorrow. Now, listen to that again. The choices you make today will determine where you are tomorrow. We understand in the grace of God, and that as we mess up, that we can be forgiven. But listen to it again. The choices we make today will determine where we are tomorrow. So where we are today, we can look back on where we were years ago, and to some extent, see right where we are today was a matter of choices. Maybe who you married, if you went to school or not, if you got into a job, a profession that led you to where you are today. You can see those choices when an opportunity presented itself just to make the yes or no, and I'm going to walk in this way. And some of them, listen to me, some of them we look back and we go, oh, if I could go back right there, I would choose it. I talked to an older man. He says, if I had to do it all over, I wouldn't make one decision different. And I'm going to say, really? In all, you know, kindness, I didn't tell him, but in my mind, I thought, that is a stupid man. And the reason why is because if we look back, we should be able to see, I made a bad decision there. I made a bad choice. If I could go back, I wouldn't do that again. So where we are today as believers, and we're walking out what we've been talking about, the blessed life that God has blessed us with. When we talk about our health, and it doesn't take much to see somebody that's not healthy right now. When we talk about our finances, it doesn't take much to go to some other part of the world, a third world country, and see that they're living in poverty, to see that we're blessed. If we look at our relationships that sometimes we take for granted, and but if we really understand how blessed we are, it's in walking that out. If you've ever gone to a funeral, chances are you've heard the story of the dash. It's between your birthday and your death date. And what do you do in that time period? But there is even a more of a specific detailed or even more specific. It's when you get up in the morning until the time you go to bed. Because life, looking back on choices, if you want to just be sad, you can say it's just waking up and going to bed, waking up and going to bed, waking up and going to bed, waking up and going to bed. But it's when you wake up, what do you do until you lay your head on the pillow? It's in making the best choices that you can that's possible for you in order for the day to come when you look back. And the choices you made today will determine where you are tomorrow. When you look back on your life, that you go, wow, there's a reason why I live in ease. There's a reason why I live in safety. And there's a reason why harm has not come to me. Now, this morning, when you think about just making wise choices, sometimes we think of them as getting wise counsel, but the Bible talks about it as listening to wisdom. Now, Solomon was probably, we believe, the smartest man that ever lived besides Jesus. And Solomon wrote this book called Proverbs, and I encourage you to read it, but the passage that kind of sums this up in Proverbs, the whole book, is he says to his son, if wisdom costs you everything you have, get wisdom. And everybody goes, yeah, yeah. But sometimes we get to a place where we don't want to hear wisdom because we know the best. So this morning we're going to talk about that. Solomon even refers to wisdom, for some unknown reason, as a she. All of us men that never thought that we wanted to have directions in the back seat or in the seat beside us in the car, they come out with a lady's voice called Siri. Turn left, and we purposely turn that on to hear the wisdom of a woman's voice speaking to us. This is what's going to be talked about today. There's wisdom that can be applied to our lives. Things that are just the way the world works, like wearing a seatbelt. Look at the statistics. graduating from high school. Look at the job and income statistics. If you're the age of 50, getting a colonoscopy. If you got cancer in your family at age 40. Don't borrowing money to pay for a depreciating asset. There's just things that are wise to do that we all know. And sometimes we get it caught up with looking at life and we go, you know, I just don't. I've talked many times about in our lives, if you went up to somebody, even if they're a believer or a non-believer, and you ask them, is there something I can pray with you about? Usually the reason why somebody wants us to pray with them about something is because of a need in their life. And in my experience as a pastor, the three areas that kind of sums them all up, this isn't the entire list, but usually it comes to people's finances. You know, they're late on a bill, or they need more money. They have more outgo than income. Or maybe their health, or somebody they know, pray for their health. And then it's relationships. Can you pray with me about so-and-so because we had a fight and all that? So what I want you to look at today, and when I talk about wisdom, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to be able to speak to you in your life, what you're dealing with right now in your life. Because all of us go through life, and again, we get up and we'll eventually go to bed, and we'll get up tomorrow and we'll do what we have to do. But in those three areas, I want you to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you on the area of wisdom. Now, as we get into the Bible this morning, and hopefully that's why we came here today, but I want you to look at some of the stories that if you've read the Bible or if you've heard about the Bible, let me just kind of refer to some of them. Why is it that a lot of times we look back on people's lives, as the Bible says we can do as examples for our lives in the Old Testament and the New Testament, but you look at people's lives and you think of David, and man, that guy is killing giants and he's killing the enemy. He's building a capital city called Jerusalem that is now one of the most oldest and famous cities in all the world. But sometimes we sum him up as that mistake that he did with another man's wife called Bathsheba. Now the Bible says it was at the time, it was in the springtime, when kings go out to battle. He sent his general out instead of him going himself. That's when he found himself in a wrong place at the wrong time. A choice. He would agree, if he was standing right here beside me, I shouldn't have been in that place. I made a bad choice. It wasn't a wise choice. If you talk about Samson, you know, you think of a guy that's got flowing hair, you know, and he's, I don't know why, but he's just kind of, it's blowing in the wind. You know, Fabio, woo, you know, guy. We think of his strength, but if you know the story and his bad choices, you know, there was a choice that he had to make or did make. He saw a Philistine girl and he told his parents, I want that. Go get her for me. And if you know the story, his parents go down, they have a, and from that moment on, he has a lady that is not in covenant with God as he is and the people of God. And things don't turn out well in that situation with that lady. But because of that choice, it'll lead to another choice. And you might have heard of Delilah. Bad choices. Bad consequences. Unwise. But still, there was something in him that said, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. You think about somebody like the Apostle Paul. How could someone like that continue to go through the suffering he did, being shipwrecked, beaten, and stoned, all these different situations in his life, and still stay the course, even confessing Jesus as the Messiah, even to the day that he was beheaded? How does he do that to make wise choices? Just continue on the track, even though everything, it seemed like under, you know, heaven was against him. He still was convinced that God was for him. But the two stories just kind of that I want to prime you with so that they're in your, I guess you could say, your frontal cortex, your brain, so that If you know these stories, one is a negative story of influence and made unwise choice. The other one is a positive influence and made a life-changing, you could even say a world-changing choice. The first one is Rehoboam, which is the son of Solomon, that we're going to read in a minute, the proverb that he wrote. And Rehoboam is he's a young whippersnapper. What does that mean? He thinks he knows what he's doing, but he has no idea. Solomon had done all these building projects and, I mean, built these beautiful things and conquered. I mean, he didn't conquer. He'd already had it conquered by David, but he just went in there and did some marvelous things. But because he had to do that, he put a lot of work on the people. His son came into power after, of course, Solomon died. And the people were kind of like, hey, can we just have a break for a while? Can you be a little bit easier than your father was on us? Now this is the question. This is his choice. What is he going to do? So he seeks counsel from the older elders in the court, the kingdom. And they all said, hey, if you'll just ease up and not put some, I mean, we built all these beautiful things, the people's heart will always be loyal to you. Then he turns and he talks to a lot of young men his age. Now remember, they're not bad men. They just don't have a clue. Now, I say that in all lovingness because I was a young man. And at 18, I wish I had all life's problems because I had all life's answers. Amen? Anybody be beside me? Were you there, huh? So he asked his young friends that say, oh, you need to winch it down. You be harder than your father and they'll know you mean business. What choice will he make? He takes the choice of the people that have no experience. And what happens is he tells the people that have come looking for the answer after 3 days, I'm going to be hard on you, harder than my father. Oh, really? And the verse after that says the people revolted against Rehoboam. But I thought it was kind of comical, and I'll add this in, to just kind of define what a revolt is. Rehoboam and his workforce leader, okay, this is the guy that's going to be the, you're going to do what I say. Rehoboam and him get in the chariot to go out to tell the people they're going to do some hard work today. And the Bible says right after the fact that the people revolted, it says that they stoned that manager and Rehoboam escaped with his life on the chariot. Now, at that moment, do you think that Rehoboam is scratching his head saying, I wonder if I made the right decision? Or if he's saying, that was a wrong decision I made. Now let's go over to the second story. It's a story of a young lady that is living with her cousin, some think her uncle. Her name is Esther. And she is chosen to be the new queen of the land. She's brought into the palace. She's loved by the king. And there's an evil man in the kingdom that is scheming to kill all the Jewish people. It just so happens that Esther, in her choice making, has listened to her cousin, and he has said this, don't tell anybody that you're a Jew. So she didn't. But the day came that her uncle, or her cousin, you could say, said to her, realize that something's going to happen here, and this evil man named Haman is going to try to kill all of the Jews. I want you to go and talk to the king on our behalf. Now watch this. She said, oh, I don't know if I can. Because the only way that I can go to the king is if the king invites me. If I am not invited, the only way that I don't die is when he sees me, he can reach out his hand in the sepulcher. He can welcome me in. If not, I die. She has a choice to make. Her uncle said, how do you know that you weren't chosen for that position for such a time as this? So what does she do? Does she flip a coin? What do you do in that situation? See, the Bible says that she began to pray and fast and even told everybody that was in her court, the ladies around, that she was going to pray and fast, and they did. And she made the decision to go to the king. Now, I'm not going to tell the whole story. I encourage you to read the Bible because it is so fascinating. But she goes to the king, and the king says, short story, are you kidding me? And takes care of the bad guy and saves the Jewish population at that time. A wise choice based on wisdom from God. Now, with those stories as a story to prime your thinking, I want you to look, because a lot of times when we go through decision making, we have to ask ourselves, are we going to just be motivated by fear, or we want to be motivated by the good consequences of those good choices? Because our culture is doing the same thing as wisdom, calling in the street. Let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 1. Again, this is Solomon. I love this because he paints a picture that's vivid that we can see with our own eyes. And it's a story of she, wisdom, in the streets calling out. Now listen what it says. Out in the open streets, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. What I want you to look at before we go on is wisdom is not difficult to see, hear, to really just to find if you're listening. So you could say this, wisdom is speaking, are you listening? In verse 22, how long, this is what she's saying when she's crying out, how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? I'm reading out of the NIV, but I love the message that kind of even makes it a little bit harder. Hey, stupid, how long will you be stupid? Now, because it's a Bible, we don't want to go, well, I'm offended at that. But it kind of wakes us up, doesn't it? There's a lot of times that we are naive and we refuse to listen and acknowledge the Word of God as being wise. Sometimes you look back and when, again, maybe a teenager or a college student, you went through a time period and you go, I don't think that anybody that's in authority has a clue. This is what wisdom saying is. How long will you be simple? It goes on to say, how long will mockers delight in mockery? And fools hate knowledge. Now again, is Solomon giving us a wake-up call just to go, hey, realize that you don't just float downstream making choices and one day you wake up and go, I don't know how I got here. Oh, you'll know. And he's saying, how long will those three groups of people continue to going on? Look at it again. The simple, the mocker, the fools. The people that know better, they're just not going to do better. Mockers. Yeah, nah, 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 nah. Did you ever have the guy that mocked you in school? He didn't know what to say. All he wanted to do is just make fun of whatever you did. You go, what? That's the best you got? It's a mocker. Fool. Okay, one more time. Yeah. You won't remember my sermon, but you'll remember Pastor Young. Solomon's saying, hey, this woman, this wisdom is saying, hey, how long will you do that? And then there's a transition. Look at verse 23. There's a time when you have to come to humility, and it says, repent at my rebuke. In other words, wisdom is saying, hey, if you'll just turn from what you're doing in my direction, turn, hey, I'm over here. Do you remember the whole series? Hopefully, whatever gets your attention will get your focus, and whatever has your focus will determine your direction, and over time will lead you to a certain destination. This is what wisdom is saying. If you'll just turn, hey, over here, just turn, repent at my rebuke. If you'll do that, look, it says, then I will pour out my thoughts to you. I will make known to you my teachings. When you humble yourself, when you repent, when you look, because when the choice comes up, there, it's initial that our knee-jerk reaction is, what do I know? You know, when I think about this, it's almost like what's obvious to everybody else becomes obvious to you. It's the same thing that can happen in an organization. Personally, it can happen in your life, but it also can happen in a nation. A lot of our financial problems as a nation could be diverted. But come on, can we be honest today that in the same street, wisdom is crying out. Also, greed and discontent yells out. Over here, get your focus over here. Turn over here, come this way. Let me just say this, because in talking about a nation or you as a person, I think that we have to watch against, I could say one of the arch enemies of wisdom can be even our passion. Hear me, I'm not saying that passion is wrong. I think passion is amazing. But misguided passion and misguided compassion can even come against wisdom. Now let me explain that. Sometimes when we have our eye on something that we're passionate about, come on. I know sometimes it hurts a little bit, but you look back on some of the choices that you made that weren't wise. It's because you would not listen, because I want it so bad. I know that car's that much money, and I know it's going to have to be paid over 20 years, but I want it. I know that I have to pay 18% credit card debt, but that would look so good on me. Passion. And it's also like that with compassion, sometimes misguided, and I say that misguided, not just having compassion, misguided compassion will also be an archenemy of wisdom. Have you ever seen a parent that can even protect their child from bad decisions that they made so that they don't have consequences? When you tell a parent you better discipline your child or someday somebody else will discipline them. Oh, no. And they feel like the compassion will even block any kind of consequences because I love them so much. Look at verse 24 as wisdom continues. It says, but since you refuse to listen. Now, watch it. Now, again, wisdom is taking more of a negative look or consequences because we're assuming that the person that is talking, they did not take wisdom. So it says this, but since you refuse to listen, when I call and no one pays attention, when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all my advice and do not accept my rebuke, it's an implied consequence coming. Verse 26 says, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. It's a promise. Ignore the voice of wisdom and eventually calamity is going to strike. And again, this is personally, organizationally, even nationally. Look at verse 26 again. I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. The wisdom that was afforded to you now will be something that almost mocks you because you refused it. Verse 27, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, it's a promise. Again, ignore the voice of wisdom and pay. Now, this does it sound like the Bible? Does it sound like God? It's wisdom. Wisdom is God. Wisdom is the Bible. So look at this. It's like when you and I both can relate to this in our lives when bad decisions were, we didn't listen to wise counsel, we didn't listen to the voice of wisdom. It was like the day that it happened and calamity strikes, it's like a storm that comes in and we go, uh-oh, It says then. Now, again, this is the transition that wisdom says, because of that and the storm coming in, there's something going to happen. Then, in verse 28, they will call to me. A lot of times we'll see people that'll go, you know, I just got to get my stuff together. I got to get my life together. I have messed up. This is what I want to ask you. Why is it that people wait to go to a counselor or a pastor after the fact? My life is messed up. I ruined everything. I'm. Before I go on, again, Solomon said, if it costs you everything you have, get wisdom. Very important. It says, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, God is real, but I can't see him, so I don't have to fear him. That's what he's saying. Wisdom will say, because you didn't fear the Lord at the time of making choices. Verse 30, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit. In other words, they're going to become fruity. Watch this. They will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. Understand, there's unavoidable consequences that will have no short-term fixes. See, that's something that in our culture we don't like. We want to, we want to sue our way out, don't we? We want to blame our way out. We want to vote our way out. We want to petition the government as a way out. We don't want consequences, or at least we want just short-term. In verse 32, it says, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them. What will kill them? Not God. It says, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Not God. It says, they did it to themselves. Now, let me give you the definition of complacency, and I'll read that again. Complacency is the feeling of quiet pleasure or security while unaware of some potential danger, defect, self-satisfaction, or smug satisfaction with an existing situation or condition. Now, let me repeat it. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. All that will get you going, oh no, every time you make a choice out of fear. But then there's the last part of this that again gets us to the end of our life, that where we want to be, and it says this, but, in other words, but you can forget all of that if you'll do this, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. That's a promise made by wisdom. Your relationships, your health, your finances. This is one of the most penetrating questions that you can ask yourself when you're at that fork in the road and all the questions of life as they're coming at you, and you know, Pastor said the choices I make today will determine where I am tomorrow. Listen to this question. What is the wise thing to do? In light of my past experience, my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? See, wisdom is calling in our street. They're saying, hey, whoa. when you turn in her direction, you ask wisdom. You ask people that have a godly life. You say, give me some advice here. When you look at the Word of God, and especially just as a habit of continuing in the direction of wisdom, I'd recommend you read one of the Proverbs every day. Is that going to make you smart on changing an engine out of a car? No. But it will keep you, again, listening as those Proverbs come through. Is that all you have to do? No. But again, what I'm encouraging you to do today is when you get to those places, realize that a choice, it can be a gateway choice to something else later. To say yes today, you have to say no to something else. But when you say yes to this, that little yes opens up now another step to another yes. You want to be on the right track. You want to be on the track that God has for us. Listen, walking out the blessed life, if we actually believe that we're blessed, then we have to realize it comes from the Word of God. And if it comes from the Word of God also says there's a thief and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. How does he do that? By getting you off the path and getting you onto another direction that is not a godly direction, a not a wise direction. And the sooner that you can say, I repent of the wise thing to do, I should have been doing that, than just changing directions and getting back on the right track of God. Now listen to me. Sometimes the guy that holds the microphone that teaches on the subject looks like he knows it all. And if there's one thing I know, I do not know it all. And the older I get, the less I know. And I read and I study and I'm around wise people. But still, I realize there's so much more to know. And everybody lives at a different time. Everybody lives in a different circumstance. Everybody has a different background. But the one thing that is continual is the Word of God in our lives. Don't allow a pastor to be your only intake. It's not a bad thing, but don't allow that to be your only intake of the Word of God on a weekly basis, if not on a daily basis. Pastor John, I don't want to tell you, but I've been listening to other people's sermons. You're the best, John, but I just want to let you. It doesn't offend me one bit. You listen to 5 other pastors during the week or 10 other pastors. Listen to the Word of God. It's where faith begins. It builds you up. Then when you are in a place where an opportunity comes, you can say, amen. I know what to do. God's Word is in my life. Now let me end with this. What and who you listen to will influence you, just like those stories in the Bible. Let me say it again. What and who you listen to will influence you. Our culture cannot overcome where you are right now in your life by listening to it. The consequences are going to be there. The culture is going to change, just like styles in ladies' hair. So don't allow the culture to say this is truth, even though it wasn't truth yesterday. The Word of God will keep you true. Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 7, verse 35, but wisdom is proved right or vindicated by all her children. There's proof. Wisdom is calling. The question is, are you listening? Would you please just bow your heads for a few minutes? Right now in your life, you might be going through a situation where you've been, there might be a time when it's hard to walk in love and you have to make a choice. You might be in a place where you have to give forgiveness and the person that needs forgiveness, you don't want to forgive. You might be in a place where you've eaten bad all your life and you realize today is a choice I got to make to quit doing that. Maybe you have not been good stewards over the blessings that God has given you financially in your life, and you go, Pastor, I got to make better choices. Listen, please hear me. It's not me that just gives you grace. It's God that has given you grace. I receive that myself, and I give you grace and mercy. Today is a new day that you change direction. You didn't get there overnight. But listen, a change in direction over time will bring you to the destination that God has for you. It's going to take some work on your part. It's going to have to start with today, a choice in your life, and then walking out that choice. Seeking wisdom is not easy. It's humbling. To walk in humility in a situation and asking somebody and asking several people. To pray and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you individually. All that takes work, but I'm telling you, it is well worth walking in the ways of fools. In the consequences of all the calamity and all the, just like a storm coming upon us. This morning, I want to pray with you. And I would have you raise your hand, but I'm not going to do that today because you know where you are. And God does too. But this morning, I want you to personally, in your life, right now where you are, as I told you at the first of the sermon, to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you in the area that you are in, that we might see change come in that area. I'm going to pray. Father, today, my family and friends that are here today, the God, that we are walking out that blessed life that you have given us. And Father, we want to continue to walk that out from victory to victory, God. We want to see things that you have for us, God, that you have created us for, to do good works even before the foundations of the earth. God, we want to walk that out. We want to see that. Therefore, God, we want to make the best choices today, that when it determines where we are tomorrow, that God, tomorrow and the next day, that we're in a good place. Father, I know that your mercy and your forgiveness is here today. God, again, that takes a choice on our part to receive that or continue to walk in condemnation. God, your Holy Spirit is here speaking to us, not to put us in condemnation, but God, to bring us out of that slavery, that bondage of fear of not being forgiven. And God, we receive it today that we might again walk in your direction. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, let me encourage you. Just showing up today is a personal decision on your part to hear wisdom out of the Word of God spoken to you on a weekly basis. There's some times where you might miss a Sunday and you go, you know, it feels like I haven't been here in a couple months. Let me tell you, the reason why that is when you hear the Word of God, again, it's life. It brings liberty to us. Be encouraged this morning that God has a plan for each one of us. Amen. I understand that Bruno has something to say. No. Well, I am blessed to have a board member named Bruno. Let's stand. Remember that Easter is a few weeks away, the last Sunday of this month, and a lot of people will come if you just invite your friends on that day. Amen. Go get them, guys. You're dismissed.